At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till for another hour, 11 till 11 o'clock, helping your computer problems, comments, and questions and concerns. Our website is back up and running, tabinc.com. Computertalkwithtab.com is the name of the show.com, which also works, is running. So yep. The links are being posted live while
they are.
We do the
They're
show.
All there.
So don't Google it. We're going to get right to your calls, though. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Adam in East Hartford. What's happening, Adam?
Good morning, Dennis and Eric. How are you guys?
Good.
All right.
Thanks for always helping us out. And I'm just giving you a follow-up to last week's question and comment.
Yeah.
I did send an email to that woman whose computer was hacked. And she said, yeah, she was hacked. And she said the... positive thing that come out of it, she said the only thing that positive come out of it was she's hearing from people that hadn't stayed in touch with her for over 10 years. You know, they were asking her if she was hacked.
Ah, yeah. So she gets that kind of rekindle relationships.
Yeah. That was the one where it wasn't an invite to the singles events because I had met her at the singles events, but it was just more of like a picture of a beautiful flower that said this was an invite.
Right.
Click here, open up. And the thing is that I have a friend, he's not always there with it, and he lives in Orange County, New York, and at one point in Westchester County, he actually thought that it was legit, and he tried to open it with his iPhone or his Android, whatever he has, but he got lucky. He got lucky. It wouldn't open up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
But thanks for always keeping us safe, and I thought I would just let you know about it, you know?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad she was able to rekindle the relationships, and and you're more aware of what to look for, so that's good, Adam. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great day, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Maria and Avon. What's happening, Maria?
Good morning. So I have a Chromebook, and I don't use it a lot, but here and there. And I'm able to get into the email part of it. Then it locks me with a device code, which I cannot get past.
A device code in your own email?
In the Chromebook. the Chromebook, it says device code. And I'm like, I don't ever remember putting a code on this device, but it won't even let me get into the email because the minute I enter the password for the email, the computer brings up a box that says it needs a device code.
Yeah. That is a basically it's your serial number of your Chromebook. I don't know why it's trying to do that. Maybe it's trying to validate itself.
It's just a four number from what I can tell.
Were you able to type it in and get past it?
No.
Hmm.
No, I'm not home, but I'm going to try that.
Yeah, there is basically it's a physical sticker containing SN. So they think it looks like it's a serial number of some kind.
Yep.
And they want to, I guess Chrome wants to confirm you are who you are, I guess, right. Or validate the device in some way, because we haven't run up across this.
Yeah, and then it does send me an email saying, is this you? And I'm like, yeah, it's me. I enter the password, and then it pops up that box saying, please enter the device code.
Yeah, so they're trying to connect you to the physical hardware.
Right. They want to know that you've got that piece of hardware in your hands.
So it could be. It sounds like it's legit. It's just way for Chrome and Google to kind of authenticate you.
Yeah, it's like an additional authentication method.
But it's weird in that all you got to do is flip over the computer.
I've used it before, and all I had to do was put in my password.
Well.
And like I said, I don't use this one a lot because it's not my main computer. It's just something
it's like a passkey, really.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if a bad guy's getting into your email, they want to Google's trying to confirm that this is you on your device.
Well,
so.
It's the equivalent of a CVV code on a credit card to authenticate the credit card.
There you go.
That's exactly what it is. It's the same thing.
Yeah, type in the code, Maria. You should be good.
I should have brought it with me, but okay, I'm not in the hurry to be on the work.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
I mean, it's not a work computer. It's just my own personal thing that I do work stuff for myself.
Yep.
Like spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets. All right. You're not looking forward to doing spreadsheets. So, yeah, you want to enjoy the weather where it's at least above 50.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I called before about scanning documents and saying it was too big.
The document was too big?
Out.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and it didn't upload. It wouldn't upload because it said the document was too big. And I can't remember how I did it, but I made the document smaller in bytes. It wasn't bytes anymore.
Yeah.
Your
resolution was too high.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your dots per inch, as it were.
Yes. It worked.
Cool. Yeah. Because if you scan something in, there's lots of scanning issues that can occur if you make it so large, deep, I should call it, so many dots per inch that you actually could blow it up and put it on the side of a building. That will produce a big file. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right,
great. Maria.
Thanks for your help, and I'll check that out when I get home.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for calling. You too. Bye bye.
All
right, so Google's trying to make sure she is who she says she is.
Yeah, that's all it is.
We appreciate that, Google. Let's go to Stephen in Southington next. What's happening, Steve?
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Dennis.
Morning.
Hi there.
So I have a couple things. The first thing you brought up was multiple AIs. Is there really such a thing? I thought there was only one AI. And is it possible where the AIs, if they're wireless, can they speak to each other? And I mean, it's going to sound strange, but what if they get into an argument or fight amongst each other? Is that possible?
Yeah. I mean, you could actually set up your AIs, like put your phone next to your Alexa and have it fight it out and talk to each other. You could do stuff like that. And there was actually a story we had where there's a chat room kind of place for AI. And I'm not sure how real it really was or not, if it was more of a hoax or not, but I think it was real in that the AIs could kind of be out there. But there are multiple AIs, multiple competing companies. There's so many companies out there with AI technology. So
yeah, there's something called Moltbook, which is the AI collective four different AI engines.
Yeah. So the answer is true. You can do that.
Yeah.
I've often thought of actually bringing in my Alexa, my little dot into the studio and having it help us. Go ahead.
Is it possible that the whole thing could cancel itself out though and just have one AI?
You're always going to have a winner, right? I mean, Google was not the only search out there, but they won, right? Yeah. Somebody's going to win. It's just which one are you picking?
As far as the ability to eliminate each other, no, because AI can exist in many things and in many forms, and one AI is not going to be able to remove other AIs from everything else in the world. You can have an AI engine on your phone. You can have one on your computer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, people like OpenAI have ChatGPT operating in their cloud on probably thousands of servers.
Yeah.
So it exists in all kinds of forms.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have a situation where they all disappear but one.
Does that complicate things?
What? Having a lot of AI?
I mean, just as far as all the, you know, everybody trying to figure out what they're trying to do. I mean,
yeah.
Does somebody go, yeah, I trust this AI, and then that AI says this, and, you know, I'm going to, how does that go?
Yeah, you gotta get good at prompting. You have to get good at asking good questions. You have to have a confidence in the AI is not going to hallucinate. I would recommend asking different AIs the same question to see if you can get different answers. I had issues just figuring out how to cook a turkey, talking to the same AI. I asked the AI and it told me how many hours to cook it, and then I asked it later and it said, no, that's way too long. Its own advice. So
that's a lot to consider. my other question had to deal with the fact that you mentioned that there's software now that's, you know, literally watching your keystroke.
Oh, it's been out forever.
Writing, watching documenting, and where does it go? And does it get ripped off? And I'm going, that's great. That's just what you need to have happen.
Yeah. Well, again, if you're doing any kind of work on a company computer, expect that you could be being monitored.
A company computer. Now, what is a company computer?
A good point. Well, a company computer would be if you're working for a business and they issued you the computer, right? They said, here you go, Steven.
Okay, so if I'm on an independent computer,
right, then you're,
off the shelf.
Then you're worried about...
I start typing away.
Right. Then you're worried about key loggers.
Save. Yeah, and so if I hit save, and the thing goes to the cloud, whatever, what happens then?
It's there on the cloud, and if they can break into your account, they can get access to whatever you wrote. So don't use a password.
Now you have me wondering, should I just stick with a typewriter instead of going with a word processor?
Yes. That is Jimmy Carter's approach to security. You should.
Oh, man. Are you kidding? You're serious about this?
Yeah. Yeah, he talked about it. If you want to be secure, use paper and pencil.
I am a writer, and I have to always hit save.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't know whether or not any of my ideas was going out. And as far as I know, nothing that I have said or thought has been taken, as far as I know.
Well, this show is podcasted, and who knows what AI is scraping from that? Who knows?
How do you feel about that? That means that you're being mined as well.
Doesn't bother me.
We don't care. I don't care.
No.
If I can contribute to the collective of our intelligence, whichever crazy side of that would be, I'm happy to do it. Right, Dennis?
You might as well. You know.
Yeah.
That's just what I think about
it. If I'm a writer.
Yeah.
Do I have to worry about this stuff, or should I just let it go?
Part of me thinks you should. The idea that you're writing your next great novel and you're saving it in the cloud.
No, I write scripts. I write TV shows, cartoons, movies, name it.
You have ideas. You have ideas. Those ideas are being saved to a place.
And I don't use AI.
No. I don't understand that, but you're saving it to a cloud, right? If you're not saving it locally, if your cloud account gets compromised, somebody could have access to your data. And the tools you're using, if they're cloud-based, the EULA says, I suspect the EULA says currently that they don't have any rights to your content. But As time goes on, they may say they do. If you want to use our word processor to come up with your next great idea, you're giving us access to your idea. It could be the future. I don't think it'd be really far to get there. So I don't know, Stephen. It all depends on where you're putting it, what tool you're using, what EULA you agree to, as far as knowing whether or not that idea stays with you.
Oh, this makes me feel like I should probably repel from computers and writing on a computer.
Just use a typewriter the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a problem with that.
There you go.
No problem. I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
All right, Stephen. All right, thank you for checking in. All right, so that's Stephen in Southington, and he's going to go back to paper and pencil. We don't mean to scare anybody. I mean, who knows? Who knows, right? But the data's out there, and Google wasn't – they said they weren't reading your emails until they finally admitted they were.
That's right. Somebody had to show it, but yeah, they were doing it.
When an AI summarizes your email, does it get then – is that brought in part of your – the understanding of the large language model? I don't know. Mm-hmm. All depends on what the EULA says. So we're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines open for you. We'll be right back. And yes, we are back. Three lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. This is no BS brass. A little milder than brass against. And a far cry from my old Southington brass. But all good. So let's get to your calls. We've got John in the car. What's going on, John?
Hi. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I know with Google looking in, you know, listening to what you're doing and what have you.
Yeah.
Would you recommend not using Google's AI or Copilot AI and only go to DuckDuckGo and use theirs? Because supposedly they don't keep any record of it.
Well, I'm not sure if DuckDuckGo has an AI per se. They have a more of a private search technology. But if you're talking about Google's Gemini is AI, Copilot is AI.
Well, DuckDuckGo does have an AI component, I believe.
Does it? Really?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me go there and I'll see.
If they do, the general answer might be yes, because they do talk about how they want to not save that information.
Yeah, I'm on DuckDuckGo, and
they do
the
have
search
AI?
Bar. Yeah, if you look at the search bar at the far end of it, it says search, and then next to that is an Ask AI button.
Gotcha.
So you can switch to the AI and ask.
I would contend then that DuckDuckGo would hopefully continue with their marketing approach to be more private.
Disposing of what you asked. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, as far as using it or not, though. They may not be as smart, quote unquote, as Copilot or Gemini or the other AIs that are out there that have a lot more money behind them. So you may not get as good a result of your query. So I don't know. I mean, that can be the case, too. So I would tell you to use multiple AIs for your query, depending on if you don't want them to know what you're asking.
If you use a VPN, would that hide your identification with Copilot or, you know, or Google's Gemini?
That's a great question, too. So that's a harder one. So if you're using Google Chrome on a VPN, Chrome knows it's you if you've logged into the Chrome instance itself. And so that would then, ergo, Gemini would know it's you, even though you're on a VPN, asking that question, right? So if you're not logged in on a VPN, and the browser still knows you locally, though. There's local cookies that it might say, hey, this seems to be like John, I don't know. It could infer it was you asking that question, whenever that question was. Not that you were doing anything wrong, but Copilot 2 knows you, right? You logged into your Windows operating system. It knows it's John. It knows your IP address, originally where it's originating from.
Yeah, so a lot of the AIs actually require a login, things like ChatGPT and Copilot.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have your identity at the other end, then it doesn't matter if you're on a VPN or not.
Right.
It's going to know who you are.
The question's encrypted.
Google's AI on their base website, Eric is right, it's going to depend on if you're logged in with Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
and then it's going to know who you are, but then it might not. But then it collects data about the connection over time.
Is your phone in your house you're asking the question? That's got to be John.
So that the VPN conduit becomes less of a thing even.
Yeah.
And it can figure out who you are despite it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because when we updated our phone...
John, we're coming up against the heartbreak. Can I put you on hold?
Thank you.
Yep.
No, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back. You haven't lived until you've heard Tom Sawyer this way.
All right.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. We had a caller talking about whether the AI is paying attention to him. And Dennis, you had a story about the FBI.
Oh, yeah. Until a few years ago, the FBI had been purchasing location data from the big data brokers.
Legitimately.
Right. This is legitimate data that
you and I could purchase.
We could if we had the money.
Yeah.
That you can go to, you know, one of the big data brokers and just collect it all and, you know, you've got it. And
right.
It's commercially available.
Yeah.
Until a few years ago, the FBI was doing it. And now Kash Patel has revealed that they are doing it again.
Sure.
I guess it was stopped in 23, something like that.
Huh.
But now they're doing it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I was saying, it's commercially available.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Global data, you can just
write
a check and get it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
And again, if you're not doing anything wrong, you're fine, right? But again, it's all pattern driven, right? I
mean, a lot of it is, yeah.
So they want to see if your patterns are changing for any reason. So if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, would be my suggestion. In other news, this is crazy. I couldn't believe it when I saw this. North Korea's 100,000 strong. Just get a hold of that. North Korea, the Hermit Kingdom, where if you look at a satellite, there's like one light on. right?
Right.
100,000 strong fake IT worker army are raking in $500 million a year. And they're working for our companies, American companies and Western companies or any kind of companies. You have hired a North Korean.
Yeah. 100,000 of them.
100,000. And they literally run their country on hamster power. There's little wheels running. Just imagine they're running Windows XPs, but they're not actually. What's happening is there's people in America who are,
it's matter of fact, it's a phenomenon called laptop farms.
Yeah.
Where they remote in to a laptop in the United States or Canada or wherever, and then they work from there.
And these workers are getting, you know, it cites information from the U.S. government that these IT workers can earn more than $300,000 a year. North Korean IT workers are being paid three. Talk about an H-1B visa problem. I mean, come on. Right? Because clearly they have to be using some H-1B visa concept to even be able to do this. Unless they're connecting in and saying, hi, it's me, Bob, from North Korea. They're acting like they're an American.
They are posing as American. They come up with fake IDs. So, no, there's no H-1B visa involved. Right. I mean, it's all fraudulent to begin with.
You're paying these guys $300,000 a year, and you could be working for all sorts of American companies, Western companies. This should be really something you're worried about, not to mention just what other things they're doing to your infrastructure that might be illicit as far as putting any kind of software on there that your IT people may not be aware of. Pretty crazy.
Stealing your data.
Yeah. Remote IT contractors for full-time technology staff inside unsuspecting companies. And we've talked about it for years. 100,000 of them?
That's a lot.
That's an invasion, man.
I mean, when we first started talking about it, it was like one person or a few at a time. Here and there.
Yeah.
But now the number is 100,000?
According to researchers at IBM X-Force. Yeah. So clearly the HR department's got to do a little better job of vetting. We'll put a link up here to this story, but yeesh.
Yeah, there have been stories about cybersecurity companies that have either hired North Korean workers or they narrowly avoided it.
Yeah.
Because they came up with an interview question that will always trip up any given North Korean IT worker.
All right.
Which is, how fat is Kim Jong-un? Because the guys won't answer the question because they don't want to give away. They're being watched by the party. In North Korea.
And you think the party's that thick that they're not going to be okay, I mean, with having them say how fat is he?
It's a fact that it has that question has caused them to stumble.
Wow.
And yeah. So
you get so far, you've hired the American, you're paying them to sit there with your laptop farm, and that question of dear leader.
Listen, it wasn't my idea. I'm just telling you what people have said.
It is
an interview question that will trip them up. Now, you're right. Eventually, they're going to catch on, and they should just lie through their teeth and say,
I'm sure the dear leader will say, he's a
big fat tub of lard.
Whatever. Yeah, he's a little, he's big boned.
And, the party apparatchiks that are watching will know enough not to care.
That's crazy. But, 100,000 are getting past it. They're not. They must be saying something, Dennis. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Chris in Rocky Hill. What's happening, Chris?
Hi. My lovely child gave me my first cell phone late in life here, and I'm kind of getting to know all the features of it. And I took a lovely picture of a beautiful sunset, and I sent it to my child. And a couple days later, I saw that even before I opened up my phone, it appeared, it said, it was from Google, and it said they had kind of filtered my picture. It showed me like a, a, a different view of my picture.
Yeah, they're telling you how smart the technology is for you to enhance it. They're giving you some suggestions of the tools that are on your phone.
Yeah, they're saying, look what we can do.
So my son...
it was my picture.
It's still your picture.
It's still there.
But it's on their network. It's on their system. It's on their device. So the device is saying, hey, Chris, this picture could be cooler if you use the AI... Gemini graphics editor. My son uses it all the time. It drives us nuts.
Can I ask you this question? Yeah. All of these like little doctors, if you had you could get access to a doctor and say you had call it a wart, that looked funny and you took a picture of that, would they have access to, photos of like that?
Whatever you took a picture of on your phone, the On phone software, let's assume they're not taking it away. Let's assume the EULA doesn't say that they have access to your wart picture. Let's assume that for now. On your phone, there is software that's smart enough to say, hey, Chris, I can make that wart look really sweet. I can make it talk. I could put a Santa hat on that wart. I'm not even kidding. Basically, the phone, it's got enough software to do it without having to have the interwebs do it. Okay? So eventually, could they decide that since you edited the wart and made it wearing a Santa hat, that it's theirs? Sure, because possibly that might be part of the EULA agreement that says when you edit your wart picture to add a Santa hat, Google owns it. That could be the case. I couldn't tell you if it's true or not. I haven't read the EULA. Nor do I care if your wart picture gets out there with a Santa hat on it and Google wants to claim it. Getty Images may want to buy it, and then you can make some money, Chris.
Oh, I'm so glad I don't have young children. I would be, I could see how this is.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. I went to get my tux for my youngest son's wedding coming up. I have to do it again for my middle. And they made me take a picture of me at Men's Warehouse with the suit on. Well, 3 seconds later, it's my suit with Mike Tyson's head on. Right? I mean, that's what you can do, and it looks perfect. The AI is really pretty cool as far as that goes, so... Not, you can't even trust anything is real. Any of the videos you see, you can even see commercials on TV. There's a face cream commercial on TV talking about smoothing out wrinkles that are generated by AI actors. Of course they look good.
Yeah.
How cynical do you have to be if you can't actually have humans using the face cream with the actual result? You use AI to generate cartoons that look like humans.
Well, I wasn't expecting, I expected privacy, but I'm understanding all the
well, it's still private
whistles, I guess.
Yeah, Chris, I contend your sunset picture is private, and it's just the on phone software that is saying, I can make this look better.
Yeah.
That's what definitely. I would contend. Google does not taken it yet.
Okay.
They're just suggesting, would you like to play with this cool technology to make the sunset look even more amazing? Just imagine.
If I said yes, then would they have
it? I don't know. My point is maybe when you say yes and you edit it, maybe they do get access to it. I couldn't tell you that.
Well, I'm not doing anything with it.
Well, impress your kids. Make the sun have a, I don't know, edit the sun to have a face in it. Your face
is
in the sun.
It was beautiful as it was. That's why I took the picture.
I hear you. All right, Chris.
Thanks.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. What's real anymore anyways?
I don't know.
I would love to.
I give up. I have no idea what reality is.
I want to see her wart. I want to see that wart. It must be spectacular for her to talk about it. Because that's not like a sub. That's obviously she's got a wart. That's something to talk about. I want to know. Let's go to Art in Enfield. What's happening, Art?
Good morning, guys. I'm just calling to say thank you so much. You really got me out of a big jam there. I called in 2 or 3 weeks ago. My laptop... made a noise. I thought it was a hard drive. You told me it was a fan. After the call, I took it out and I vacuumed it and I blew it out with an air compressor. For the next week, things were great. Okay. But then, just as good as they were great, then every day started failing. Message came up and said it was overheating. So I got my new PC and followed your instructions. And I'm now using, what's it called, LibreWord? No, LibreOffice.
LibreOffice, yep.
To replace my Word, and that's working great. What else? I got off the internet Ethernet connection. I had a cable.
Yeah.
Now I'm using it with my Orbi Wi-Fi router. That's worked great.
Awesome.
The only issue I had was with I couldn't get OpenDNS to work, but I used your website and Facebook. And Dennis got back to me and gave me terrific detailed instructions. And so I was able to make that work. Anyway, bottom line is everything's working. You guys are fantastic. I can't say enough good about you. I couldn't have done this myself, so thank you very much.
Our pleasure, and we're glad we could help.
Happy to help. Yep.
Okay. You guys should get a raise, by the way.
Yes, we agree.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye. We're happy to do it. It's our pleasure to be here. It really has been our pleasure to be here the past 30 years. And we'll be here as long as they'll have us. We just found out what happened to CBS News Radio, but they were working for a lot more than we are. So we're probably good for a little while, as long as the lights are on, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But that CBS radio thing is kind of sad. I remember driving to my grandmother's and hearing that chime, da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was news radio for me.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing of the past.
But maybe we can capture that there, Carolyn, and incorporate it in some way. Barry Weiss is not going to get mad at us, is she? Who knows? All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. We are back. And Morgan's got a spotlight coming up at 11 o'clock after our program, talking about homeschooling.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting. And I guess this person has been on the radio even as far back with Ray Dunaway. So,
whoa. Okay.
So Morgan will be spotlighting that. And I do see some callers coming in, so we appreciate that. Carolyn will get to you. And as we wait for your calls, Ohio citizens are telling hyperscalers to take their supersized data centers elsewhere. Residents are looking to ban server farms with a capacity of over 25 megawatts. So this is going to happen more and more. You get the NIMBY of all sorts of things going on, right? We don't want anything in our backyards. And these guys don't want any data centers in their backyard. That's going to happen a lot because we talked about this as far as the cost of building data centers, a lot of the siting, a lot of these quote-unquote data center projects that they say they have. You know, they've got five data center projects. Well, they don't expect them all to actually go through. So you probably have one data center project that's going to actually hit for some of these that have five out there. But this is what's the actual town?
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Basically, it's the residents of Adams and Brown counties.
Yeah, Adams and Brown, yep.
And they are not going to do it, not going to have it. Now, who's going to win the fight? Are you? Is it the data center that's still going to be able to be built because they get around the townspeople? Who knows? But we're going to see more and more of this NIMBY, I think, when it comes to data centers. And again, the cost of electricity, they better cover the cost of the electricity and the infrastructure that's required to actually put these data centers in. So, all right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to MJ in New Haven. What's happening, MJ?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. The question I have, which is probably kind of geeky, I have a relative who's a retired electrical technician, and last time I was with him, he was discussing with me this computer, which looks more like a breadboard, called Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And it's programmable by the Python programming language.
Yeah, it can be.
He uses it for some sort of, he moderates the electrical load on his house. I mean, he's really into it.
Monitors it?
Both, all the above.
Really?
I guess monitors it, yeah. He doesn't affect any changes.
Okay,
with the
monitoring makes some sense. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, okay. I haven't had my second cup of coffee.
That's okay.
So my question to you is, I guess you have heard of it, so that answers one question. Is there anything practical you can do with this? I'm not going to moderate my electrical load.
You can.
First, are you competing? Are you trying to do something cooler than he's doing, monitoring his electricity?
I'm also retired, and it's something I could do on, we're not going to have too many snowy days going forward, but you know, like when I have nothing else to do.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
Or I just have a priority that changes that puts that at the top. So I'm just wondering, should I go buy one of these things, and what can you do with it?
Anything, really. It's basically a little basic computer.
It is. It's a bare bones computer, and you can set it up with a version of Linux and use it as a computer.
Right.
You know, like a desktop or a laptop. I mean, it won't be a laptop, but
no.
I mean, you can use it the way you would any kind of computer. It does have some limitations because it's got its own kind of processor,
yeah.
And it's not going to run all of the different kinds of software you might want, but it definitely will browse the web.
Yeah.
And so you could, you know, use it for email and basic, I don't know if like Office or LibreOffice software will run on it, but you can get into like OneDrive or Google Cloud and, you know, create documents in those.
And we haven't thought enough about it as far as how we might use a Raspberry Pi to solve a problem. Like your brother-in-law was watching his power, but, in this case, too, you know, you could do a lot of research on the concept of the Raspberry Pi as far as what it could be leveraged to do. And you might have an idea that nobody's thought of. You know, who knows what you're going to come up with as far as.
I wonder if there's a Raspberry Pi for Idiots book.
There are guides all over the place. We'll look for one.
YouTubes are out there for you to watch. And you could go down a rabbit hole of that just to find folks that'll tell you what they've done with the Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi has been around for at least 20 plus years.
I don't know about 20, but
feels
definitely
like it.
10 or 15.
I feel like, yeah. I've talked about it with Bob, and Bob is hosting with me, but it goes back a long time. So you could probably come up with an idea you haven't even thought of.
It's possible. I'm a retired IT guy myself. So the geek, I still have a bit of the geek in me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check one out.
Well, what problem?
You can get them on the internet for like $30 or
right.
They're fairly inexpensive, but they do come in different hardware flavors. And I can tell you that you're probably going to want to get one of the more advanced ones. So one of the $30 numbers is probably not going to work, at least as a kind of a normal computer. You'd need to invest a little more.
Yeah.
but okay. not right. a whole lot more.
Sounds pretty good. I might have to go get one.
Yeah, go play with it.
Then I'll have to stop using my Vic.
Your Vic 20?
My Vic 20.
Yeah, yeah. That's old. I do. The trash 80.
Can you do AI with the Vic 20? I don't know.
No, probably not. So, yeah, play all with right. it. We'd like to know what you come up with. If you come up with an idea and some sort of Rube Goldberg solution to something you've done that you applied to your Raspberry Pi, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, Rube and I, we go way back.
Yes.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You got it, sir. Yeah, bye. All right, bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, just trying to even come up with automation. I don't know how many apps I have that manage smart light bulbs and smart doors and smart cameras, and they're all these different tools and technologies. My thought would be to figure out to have maybe a Raspberry Pi to rule them all. You know, there is software out there to do all that, but you got to get down to the nitty gritty. And that's what Raspberry Pi does. That's like it's like the old building your own radio with Radio Shack. When you're messing with a Raspberry Pi, you're really getting into the nitty gritty.
Or Heathkit.
I don't even know what that is.
Heathkit? You don't remember Heathkit?
No.
Oh boy. All right.
We were lucky
you
to
haven't
get
lived.
We were lucky to get a model airplane for Christmas.
Well, so Heathkit sold you kits to build appliances like radios and televisions
really?
And stuff.
Build a TV?
Yeah.
Those cathode ray tubes would kill you.
Well,
they included a cathode ray tube?
I think so. I know that you could buy stereo kits and things like that them. Oh, yeah.
How far back does this go, Dennis?
Oh, 60s, 70s.
So really, you're using vacuum tubes and you're like plugging them in there and rabbit ears.
I don't know about vacuum tubes. I don't think they
transistors
got to that,
you were using then back then.
Yeah. The breadboards and things like that. Yeah.
It's crazy. A couple more minutes before the top of the hour before excuse me, Morgan Cunningham gets in with the spotlight. What do you got there, Dennis?
Well, I got a story about a problem that...
what problem?
What's the name of the company? It's one of the retailers. They started sending out emails.
Okay.
And these are actually part of a crypto scam.
The retailer didn't realize they were doing it. Oh,
yeah, it's Nordstrom. Ah. That one of their email accounts was breached.
Yep, happens.
And was being
business email compromised.
Yep, and St. Patrick's Day crypto promotion was going out.
Oh boy!
And a lot of people were hooked.
That's recent, then, huh?
Yeah, just a week ago or so.
Yikes. So business email compromise is a big problem, guys. And clearly Nordstrom needs a better ITDR technology to prevent it, but...
They do. Everybody does.
But most likely, it wasn't even Nordstrom's main system that would have been impacted. It probably was their marketing company that they used to send out these emails.
It might have been something like that. The details don't go that deeply into it, but Nordstrom did admit that they did suffer a breach.
Gotcha.
Something.
And purely it was about crypto. So
yes,
trying to get
it was trying to get people to
buy crypto.
Yeah.
if you get an email from Nordstrom to tell you to buy crypto and you do it, you really should see somebody. But we want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. We want to thank Carolyn for producing. We want to thank Mike G for posting everything over at our Facebook and our X pages. And Dennis, of course, does everything here live over at computertalkwithtab.com. And stick around. Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. We'll be talking about homeschooling.
Yep. And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We will see you next Saturday. Go UConn.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for.
This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.